to the 8th chapter of Romans. I'd like to continue on a little bit. We started, I guess, last time talking, laying some groundwork for chapter 8, which is one of the, I think, the pinnacle of the New Testament. One of them, there's several, but this may be the highest. And we talked about hope last time, not being able to be, or the thing that you hope for, not being able to be seen right now, but we wait for it with patience. And talks about the Spirit praying to God for us, really. He makes intercession to God for us. And that God knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because the Spirit makes intercession for us based on the will of God. We can't make intercession for ourselves, or we can't pray always, because we don't always know the will of God. And that's why sometimes we don't get our prayers answered. Or we always get our prayers answered. It's either yes or no, or not now. Sometimes we don't always get what we want because we don't pray according to the will of God. So Scripture says a lot about that. So even though we don't get all the things that we want or think we want, but that the Spirit makes intercession for us according to the will of God, then he says in verse 28, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." So, there are some things that the Apostle Paul is going to deal with here that are things that are according to the will of God and His purpose. They're not according to our will or our purpose. And sometimes we don't, you know, just like we don't pray according to the will of God a lot of times. We don't get what we want, but Jesus Christ always got what He wanted. Because every time He prayed, He got what He made supplication for, what He prayed for. Because He always prayed according to the will of God. And what's under consideration here are the things that are according to His purpose, not ours. I mean, the Spirit makes intercession for us because He knows the will of God. And what is the will of God? Well, that's hand in hand with His purpose. And he says that all things work together. I know most of y'all have cooked in here at one something, at one point or other. Can you imagine making a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, but leaving off the jelly and putting in a slab of catfish in there? A catfish and peanut butter sandwich don't taste too good, does it? The ingredients aren't right. I remember one time, Sonya and I, we were in college, and we had her friend or roommate there in the apartment made a chess pie. And I can't remember what she left out. Was it sugar? She left the sugar out of it. And I can't stand, I won't eat a chest pie today because that was the nastiest thing that I'd ever eaten in my life. And she didn't have all the ingredients right in it. The measurement wasn't right, and it came out, whew, it was rough. And to this day, I have no taste. I don't even want to taste a good one. I know people gloat over or dote over a good chest pie, but I'm just not going to eat one. So there are some ingredients that have to go together to make up a good pie or cake or stew or whatever you want. Stuff has to be added and stuff has to be left out. Right? You don't want to put a catfish filet in the middle of a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. That wouldn't be good. So you need, there's some stuff you need to leave out. Well, I believe the Apostle Paul is talking about a set of ingredients here that God uses in His purpose, His recipe, so to speak, of the things that He did, that He made outside the will and outside the influence of man. Now these things, he says, first of all, he says that they are, that these all things work together for good to them that love God. Well, we can right off the bat take the people out that don't love God. He ain't talking to them. He's talking about the things that are accomplished that God has called and that love God. He's talking about that group. The other group is not in this. So he immediately begins to separate who he's talking about. And I want y'all to remember that this all things kind of is along the same line. And it has it's almost the same word as that word worlds in the scripture. And it says that all, the whole world has gone after him. The Pharisees were talking to themselves and they says, don't you see that the whole world has gone after him? Well, that's not true because they weren't going after him. If you consider all the world, meaning every particular thing in the world. So we're going to see about these all things later on. I want us to remember that, have you ever had something in your life that didn't work out to your good? I mean, anything. But first of all, you love God, right? Okay, you love God. Have you had anything ever work out in your life that wasn't good? I have. We know that this is not talking about every particular thing that happens in our lives. Any sane person with a degree of understanding the sovereignty of God and what's under consideration, I think, and there's been some, and I know some, have some learned men that I love that are not teaching what I'm teaching to you today. But I'll tell you that this all things is not talking about every account or every little thing that happens to you every day. If a person lies to you and tells you to go pick up that, go stick your hand in that hole and then they know there's a scorpion in there and you die. That ain't to your good. Or you get your arm chopped off. That ain't to your good. Look, talking about particular things that he's fixing to tell. He's talking about the things that God does according to his purpose. And he says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. I'm not saying God doesn't cause some things to happen in your life that he don't direct and send. I'm not saying that. God does that. I mean, he didn't just wind this world up and let it go and not have any influence in it. Y'all understand that? I mean, God is sovereign. That doesn't mean that he directs every particular thing, like me pulling this tissue out of that box and cleaning my glasses. You understand that? But there are some things that God sends and things that God does that does work out to our good. And sometimes it's to teach us a lesson. But in this context, he's not talking about all those things. He's talking about these things here in this pie. That God, these ingredients that God does. And it's only to them who are the called according to his purpose. And here's the ingredients. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. The first two ingredients in these things is foreknowledge and predestination. Foreknowledge is that he knew beforehand who they were. Predestination is talking about people. So he foreknew a people and he predestinated those people to be conformed to the image of his Son. That means that they not only would be regenerated and have a new nature, have a godly nature, but more, which is one of the first fruits of the Spirit. But I think he's talking about those that that at the resurrection morning, when they are resurrected, then their bodies come forth as sinless and uncorrupted and incorruptible, that they are going to look like Christ and fully be conformed to his image. He predestinated those people that he foreknew to be that way. And first, to be that way, they've got to have the new nature in them. And it's all rolled up into one. Here he's talking about. For whom he did foreknow. This is a limited people. This is a limited group. We're talking about the ones that love God. Why did we love him? Because he what? First loved us. This talking about in his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Were there children of God before Christ was born? Yes, I mean, in the earth. Yes, there were. But what is Jesus Christ? He's the eternal Son of God. He's always been his Son. He always will be his Son. But were there any people that were ever resurrected before Christ was resurrected? Sure there were. Lazarus was. The boy that was, they were having a funeral march for the boy and he was in the coffin. And Jesus went up and touched the coffin and the boy came alive. But what was he resurrected to? It wasn't in perfection, was it? To my knowledge, ain't nobody ever been resurrected to perfection like Christ has been. So in that sense, he's the firstborn among many brethren. Yea, we couldn't have been resurrected that way had he not been resurrected. Said, moreover, I love that. He says, moreover, Not is Paul's just basking in the glory of God. He says, not only did he foreknow a people, and that foreknown people he predestinated, and that we're going to look like Christ at the last day, but he said, moreover, whom he predestinated, them he also called. He's talking about that effectual calling there. Those, I got a little bit ahead of myself, but he says, to them he called. And I mean, I think this is a long distance call. This is not a gospel call. I feel rather certain that a lot of people have lived and got the effectual call from God that never did hear the gospel. All those saints back there in the Old Testament that lived and died their whole lives and never heard about Jesus Christ and the good news of their salvation, yet they loved God. They didn't hear the good news of the gospel. And then when some of them heard it, they didn't like it. So he says, those people that he predestinated, them he also called. He's talking about the calling that comes from God in regeneration, an irresistible call that you cannot say no to, because man don't do that kind of calling. God's the one that does that calling, and you're not going to tell God no. You might, for it'll be hard for you to kick against the pricks. And you ever done that? You ever kicked against something that hurt you? I have. It's self-injurious. I mean, it's like hurting yourself on purpose. It don't make any sense. Whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called. Here, look. We're talking about the same bunch that was from the beginning. To them who are the called according to the will of God, and those that love God, right? The called according to His purpose. This is all according to His purpose, and it's the group that loves God. And why do we love God? Because He first loved us. He's talking about this group, and these are all the things that go together to make this wonderful godly pie that He's going to serve us, that He's going to make. And He says, so we got foreknowledge and predestination, and we've got the calling, which is the effectual calling, the calling from God, and whom He called, them He also justified. That means He justified them in declaring them to be righteous. So not only did He foreknow that people that was according to His purpose, but He predestinated them to look like Christ. Glasses fell apart again. My goodness. He predestinated them to look like Christ. And not only did those people that He predestinated, that means predetermined their destination beforehand, not only did He know them first and predestinate them beforehand, their destination, that those people that He predestined, He gave an effectual call for, and those that He effectually called, called them called of God, born again, those people that He called them, those people are the ones that He justified. And do you know, He had to make them righteous before He could declare them righteous. But this seems to be something that happened long time ago. He declared them to be righteous, that same group. It's not talking about your justification. Remember, this ain't your pie. You have no ingredients in this pie. God made this pie from His own ingredients, by His own hand, outside the influence and mess up of man. It says, it didn't say Him and you justified. It says He justified. He says, them He also justified. This is the same group. He declared them to be righteous. And whom He justified, also glorified. Now that's something that talks about in the past tense. I'm not glorified yet. In reality, I am in God's eyes, but I haven't experienced it yet. He's been as a lamb slain from before the foundation of the world ever was. But he wasn't slain until he was slain. Do y'all understand that? I'm not glorified yet, but I'm going to be glorified. And according to God and according to the work of God, it's already done in his eyes. And all these things go together to make this glorious pie that gives God all the glory. You know, some people have a certain thing that people love to eat, you know, at church or anywhere. They have these things that Mama always made, that hamburger casserole, or, you know, Sonia, she always makes those good sausage balls or whatever. I'm going to tell you what, friends, God made this pie, and it's outside the influence and mess up of man, and it's always good to taste what God did for you. Don't neglect to eat a piece of this pie every day. Every day. Because it's good for you to remember that God did some things for you that you can't mess up. You don't add ingredients into it. You don't take any ingredients away. It's outside of your influence. Amen. God did this and He set it out. You know, I just can't cook like Sonia can. I can't cook like Mama can. I can't cook like my grandma can. I just can't do it. Have y'all ever tried to follow the recipe just right and it just never turns out to taste like theirs? Why? Because there's something that they do, that's some kind of secret, I guess, that, friends, you can't do. You can't cook like God. You can't make a pie with these kind of ingredients because you can't get them. You don't have these ability to cook with these kind of ingredients. You can't call anybody the way that God calls them. You can't justify anybody the way that God justifies them. You can't glorify yourself, let alone anybody else, the way that God can. And you can't foreknow something, can you? And you can't predetermine the destination of anything, can you, in reality? There's no way you could do that. This is God's pie. He's the one that did this. And He says, and at the end of this, He says, what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Boy, I tell you what, this gives me so much assurance that I won't mess any of this pie up, that I can glory in God because He did something for me that I can't do for myself, and I can't mess it up. If God be for you, who can be against you? There's a lot of people that are going to try. But they can't be against you because they can't prevail against God. They can't make a better pie than God can. What shall we then say to these things? See, there it is. He said, you know, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them are the called according to the purpose. And when he got finished talking about the ingredients to the pie, he says, what shall we then say to these things? He's talking about, that's the all things he's talking about. All things under consideration. Now, I'm talking about every little thing that happens to you every day. He's talking about the things that God did according to his purpose. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? I want you to know that you've got somebody in your corner, and somebody is not only leading you and going before you, but they're also watching your back at the same time. God's in your corner. He's the one that is telling you where to go, what to do, and who to be with, and all that stuff. And all the while, he's watching your back. He's encouraging you to go on. He's leading you in the righteous paths. If God be for you, who can be against you? There's a lot of people that are against you. You know that? There's a lot of people that are against you. But God's for you. And if you can just remember, whenever somebody comes up against you, you eat a piece of God's pie and you say, "Man, that's mighty good. Thank you, Lord. I remember what you've done for me." If God be for us, who can be against us? Can anybody unmake this pie? Can anybody undo what God did? There's no way to uncrucify, unresurrect, unpredetermine, predestinate, unforeknow you. There's no way to unglorify you. Why? Because God did the work. There's no way for you to fall out of the hand of God, because He put you in there. Now, if there's a system that where man has to add anything into the pie, that God did His part and man adds his part into it, then it's possible, you have to think logically, it's possible for that man, to, or for man in general, to either put in the wrong ingredient or not put an ingredient in at all, so as to render the final pie like that chess pie, nasty tasting. And you know what? Really, any system that does add, that has man as a co-chef with God, the final product is always nasty to the taste. Because it takes glory away from God. That's not saying that you're not a seasoning. Amen. Jesus called you salt of the earth. We're supposed to be seasoning. He said, "Let our speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt," or seasoned with grace. Maybe it was "let your," I can't remember exactly how it goes. But we're supposed to be seasoning. But we're not an ingredient. I tell you, this is some good stuff. It says, if God be for us, who can be against us? He that sent not, I'm sorry, I can't see. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? There's that "all things" there again. Well, what is Jesus Christ going to freely give you? Is He going to give you everything? Did He say He was going to give you everything? I mean, everything in the world. I'd like that microphone. I think I'll take it home. Is He going to give you everything? I think I'd like that other, you know. Well, let's just make it hyperbolic and say, well, I'd just like to steal that man's car. I'd like to have that car, and I'd just go steal. Is He freely going to give you that? No, He's going to freely give you all things that are considered righteous, all things that are considered His way, all things that have to do with Him. not all the bad things. So all things, not talking about every little thing. This is one of the best verses, I think, in the whole scripture. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. You ever been charged? Any accusation ever come up against you? Anybody ever told you or charged you with something that you were either guilty or not guilty of? It didn't say that they were guilty or not guilty. He said they were charged. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. And if you're His, it doesn't matter what the charge is, whether you're guilty or innocent of the charge, God's the one that made you righteous. God's the one that declared you righteous. And therefore, there is no charge. There is no charge. If God's declared you righteous, they cannot bring you up on charges. That doesn't mean that they're going to try to charge you. When it's all said and done, God's the one that did the justifying, not you. Not me. God's the one that done it. And our justification is based upon the work of God. Again, if I want to throw something into this justifying pot, there are some things, but He's not got my justification up, or me having part of my justification in this, because He said it is God that declares righteous. Boy, and this justification is not based upon any ingredient that I've got to put in this pie. This justification here is talking about the ingredients that God did according to His own purpose and on the basis of His good work, the ingredients that He put together and His purpose and His will, and based upon all of those things, that's why the Apostle Paul can say, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Because if I had anything to do with it, we could say it's me and God that justifies me. Nope. These things under consideration are what He's talking about. It's God that justifieth. Who is He that condemneth? Who is He that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is given even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. He says, He brings Christ more fully into this thing, and He says that who is He that condemneth? Kind of like David did when he was there on the battlefield and was overlooking the battlefield, and he saw Goliath down there, and everybody was afraid of Goliath being about 11 feet tall or whatever it was. And this little old shepherd boy went up there, and I can see him almost standing on a rock I'm going to tell y'all a story. One time I was hunting and I saw this owl come down. You know, they're silent predators. And I was watching this squirrel on this limb, and this owl comes swooping in, and he landed right there on that same limb, right above my head. And you know, I saw that squirrel bow up on that owl and start barking at that owl and going towards it like this, poking out his chest and like that. And I want you to know that owl took off. I've never seen that before or since. And I want you to know, I can see David almost standing on the precipice of the rock overlooking the valley down there where they were, the Philistines were. And I can see Goliath out there poking out his chest. And David stands up and he says, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the very armies of God?" He says, "If God's for us, who can be against us? Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again." So this resurrection is what Paul has, another proof that Paul has for us to being condemned. We cannot be condemned because Christ is risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. You see how he keeps on going? Moreover, also, he also did these things. On top, he keeps on building it up. And then he says in verse 33-35, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword?" And he says all these things. He didn't say all those things wasn't going to come upon you. He says all them things are not going to separate you from the love of Christ. Nothing that this world can throw at you will be able to separate you from the love of Christ. None of the things that man or the world or Satan himself could do could undo what God did. Nothing that he could do or say or charge or condemn with is going to undo the work of Christ. He can't unmake the pie that God made. Hallelujah this morning, because I can't undo the pie that God made. I can't add to or take away from the things that God did. Satan can't do it. Nobody can. What shall separate? What it can separate us from the love of God? Nothing can. And he says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." What things is he talking about? Is he talking about sheep that are set for the slaughter? Or is he talking about nakedness or peril or sword? No, he's not talking to those. Are not things that help you to be a conqueror. The things that help you to be a conqueror through Jesus Christ are those being foreknown and predestinated and called and justified and glorified and being justified by God. All those things are what make you more than conquerors. And I tell you what, that still has not got you added into it. It's still God's pie. Still God's pie. Nakedness, peril, sword, none of that stuff can separate you from Christ. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the capstone of salvation by grace. This is the pinnacle of the work of God. This is the foundational principle by which we praise Him. This is the foundational principle by which we can say God is sovereign and He works His will among the orbits of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay His hand or say unto Him, "What doest thou?" This is outside the reach of men. This is to God's glory, not mine.
this is for my benefit. This is for my blessing. This is for your blessing. This is something good for you to eat every day, for you to remember that it don't matter what you got going on in your life, it's not going to separate you from God's love. It's not going to uncall you. You can't be unjustified. You can't be unglorified or unpredestinated or uncalled or unforeknown. Nobody can take those things away from you. But it would do us good to eat a piece of this pie every day. The pie that God made. The doors of church are open for reception of members. May the Lord bless you in my prayer.